In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning. Starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside Wall Street, Matt Modica, the King, Scott Angle, and Michael Blewett. Actually, this is what he's going to do. I am Greg Sussman. Week one of the NFL is very much upon us, gentlemen. And we saw the first game on Thursday night. We have the rest of the game on Sunday. And we, in the next hour, will go over every one of these games on Sunday and try to find out what you're looking for, what you're watching for. Before we do that, I want to go back to Thursday night. I want to go back to the Kareem Hunt breakout, the Kareem Hunt show. Over 40 fantasy points, no matter what kind of league you're playing in. Almost about 200 yards total. I mean, it was just an insane performance for Kareem Hunt in his debut. And nobody remembers that he fumbled on this first play from scrimmage. It was an unbelievable performance. Matt Modica, you gotta be feeling good.
Oh, I mean, I loved it. Hallelujah. Praise be Jesus. Kareem Hunt just absolutely crushed it. And especially the way it started, where he fumbled on that first snap. And he still got like 9 yards and then fumbled the ball. But, I mean, he looked every bit the part. We told you on this show earlier in the week when the running back by committee news came out that it was fake news. And, you know, it's only 1 week. He's not going to score 40-plus points every week. But lead running back in the Andy Reid system with really nobody threatening him. Full speed ahead.
Absolutely, full speed ahead. You always want a running back that plays for Andy Reid. I said the same thing about Spencer Ware. And just for the record, not poo-pooing Kareem Hunt in any way, who looked unbelievable on Thursday night. But Spencer Ware had 31 fantasy points for week one last year. Just saying. Scotty, what's going on?
Yeah, good morning. But Spencer Ware eventually petered out and probably was going to lose the job if he didn't get hurt. I know we believe that, a lot of us on this panel. But it's important to remain level-headed this morning. I know we all waiting for fantasy football to come back, but I say this all throughout the season. You cannot overreact on one game on Thursday night. Look, in a lot of cases, if you had Gillis, Lee, Hunt, and Alex Smith or something like that, I doubt a lot of people said, or you had, I doubt a lot of people had Smith. If you had Hill, Gillis, Lee, and Hunt,
there you go.
You're probably on your way to a victory. But in a lot of cases, if you have Hunt, you can't assume that you have a victory. If you're playing against him, you can't assume that you have a loss. You should not tweak your lineup based on what the other team did, scoring with Kareem Hunt. Look, it's a great start. But a lot of your other players and the other team's players haven't played. Your players could still blow up. Kareem Hunt could have a big night, and the rest of the team could be either mediocre or bad. So don't assume victory or defeat on the weekend.
There you go. Don't assume victory or defeat, except I feel like crap today, Mike Blewett, because I played Kareem Hunt on Thursday night. So as we before Sunday, should. I feel terrible.
You should.
Yeah. You're behind the eight ball, but there's hope, light at the end of the tunnel, apparently. So says the king.
Yeah, great.
39 points for Alex Smith, 10 for Tom Brady. Who would have guessed?
Good point. When we come back, a little bit more on the Chiefs and the Patriots. And, of course, we're getting to week one as well. Rodo Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Rodo Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And on Thursday night, we saw the breakout of Kareem Hunt. But we also saw a lot of what I think we were looking for, Mike Blue, when it comes to the Patriots running back situation. And that starts
with Mike Gillisley, but it doesn't end in there because I think it was much clearer for what we're looking for. Mike Gillisley is LeGarrette Blount. Three touchdowns on opening night, looking great. But, you know, he didn't carry the ball every time. In fact, he was out-snapped pretty significantly by James White, who last night played the role of, well, James White.
Yeah.
So he plays the role of himself. Rex Burkhead filled in here for Julian Edelman a little bit on Thursday. You saw once Danny Amendola left the game with a concussion. We're going to talk about it in just a second. Rex Burkhead played a little bit in the slot, had an end zone target. So Rex Burkhead kind of played a bit of a hybrid role. Deion Lewis, for the most part, nowhere to be found except on kick returns. There was a little clarity on Thursday night when it came to the Patriots running game, and us fantasy owners were quite thankful.
No doubt about it. So Gillisley, clearly the goal line back, and he delivers, so he's obviously going to keep that job for at least the short term. I would say, though, even though he didn't get the ball or didn't get as many snaps as some other guys, he did out-touch everybody in that backfield. He's the 15 carries, the three touchdowns. I have Gillisley in a dynasty league, and I've held on to him for 2 years, hoping for a day like this. I think you're right on the role starting to clarify. And to anybody that bought into Burkhead, I think you have to be encouraged with what you saw, even if it wasn't huge production.
I don't know if James White was James White last night. I think the Patriots are showing even more confidence in him coming out of the gate this year. I think he was used more as a pure runner than we've seen in the past. Not only did they use him in the passing game, but I thought they were going to use Gillisley up the gut more early in the game, and you saw a lot more of James White. Gillisley easily stepping out to that LeGarrette Blount role, and then there's kind of a timeshare outside the 20s there, I think. It's a pure committee outside of the 20s.
Can I ask Matt a question? Mm-hmm. You've been a big James White proponent. I think you and I are kind of on the same page, but based on last night, do you still like White more than anybody else in this backfield going forward?
In the PPR format, I really do like him a lot. I think Gillisley, just for the fact that the Patriots will score a ton of points and the opportunity is going to be there with the rushing touchdowns, that's kind of hard to pass up. But I really like White based on his draft cost, what you were able to get there, and I think the role is expanding. I think going forward, he may have that. He may be the one, because if Danny Amendola is out for a significant amount of time due to concussions or any other reason, he's going to be a guy that's just – he caught 60 last year. That could possibly lead him to 70.
Yeah, no doubt. I was after the Edelman injury, I thought he was the guy whose value was solidified the most. I could see him getting up to 75 catches. The Gillisley thing, it's hard to beat a 48 touchdown pace, Greg. Yeah,
you were not one of the Chris Hogan guys. Like as soon as he got hurt, as soon as Edelman got hurt, you know, the Hogan train really started moving forward.
Look, I was never big on the Hogan train. I did put a nice fab bid on him in the Superflex. But I think I wouldn't say Hogan's done. I think Hogan's role is only going to increase in this offense as well, especially that Malcolm Mitchell is now on IR. I mean, I'm not counting on Philip Dorsett. I think if you put Hogan and Cooks on the outside, it makes the Patriots a very, very scary team.
By the way, I should be hearing from Aaron Judge this weekend because I Big League Impact just tweeted out the video. I helped him draft last week, and his third round pick was Kareem Hunt.
Good job, buddy.
Yeah,
gold star.
Yeah.
I want to point out yesterday the debut of Brandon Cooks on Thursday night for New England. 3 for 88, I think, was the final line. Mm-hmm. Really played a bigger part than that, though, because Jericho Plass interference penalties, had a touchdown opportunity that didn't come down with. So I thought Brandon Cooks, I think he's going to be fine in the Patriots colors. But that Rob Gronkowski is an interesting one. I want to throw this out to you, Mike McFluitt, mm-hmm. because for my eyes, Rob Gronkowski looked slow. He looked deliberate and not in a good way. He looked hesitant. I don't want to say he looked any weaker than he normally does, because he didn't. I mean, he made a spectacular what would have been a touchdown catch if he could have held on. He was catching balls in tight spaces. He looked stronger than ever. But he looked a little ginger. And I think that was the other word I was really looking for over the other show. He looked ginger to me throughout the night. And maybe that was Eric Berry's phenomenal coverage on Rob Gronkowski. But I don't own any shares of Gronk. I don't want to own any shares of Gronk. Do I have a right to be nervous?
And we also saw him get up slow after the drop touchdown catch. I do think there's cause for concern there. Here's what I think about Gronk. I don't think he can be as consistently dominant as we saw in the past. Because of the all the injuries piling up, there's going to be a month stretch where Gronk is probably going to blow it out of the water at some point this year. But is he going to do it over the last 15 games consistently? I think it's going to be really tough for him. Injuries to other guys may actually help him, as I heard you say earlier in the show, could help him and Cooks because they're going to have to be out there for more snaps. But don't you want to, as they said they were going to do with Amendola, don't you want to actually manage Rob Gronkowski this year and use Dwayne Allen and try to use some other tight ends to just give him a rest?
Yeah, no, look, I didn't have the same takeaway that he looked ginger or anything. I think it was more Eric Berry doing a fine job on him and Brady not being accurate. I think we've seen Rob Gronkowski before when he gets a competent safety on him, a high-level safety. He doesn't always produce like he should. The last team to beat the Patriots in New England was Seattle, and in that final play of the game, he couldn't get open for the final touchdown because Cam Chancellor was on him.
It's one of the few teams that can actually match him head up with one player.
I think I read a statistic on Thursday night saying that going into the fourth quarter with a lead in New England, Brady's like 105-0.
That is correct.
That's exactly correct.
He had not lost a home game when leading at halftime in the regular season since 2000.
Unbelievable.
I think it was 87 games.
Unbelievable.
Somebody just said to me on Twitter, you said the Chiefs are going to win last night. Did I? I didn't say they were going to win. I said they were going to cover.
You said they were going to cover.
Yeah.
They also went over. They went over.
They did have the over.
They went way over.
What was the spread?
Nine. It was 9 on Thursday.
A lot of points.
9 on Thursday.
But as you say, it was a lot of points. But in that first half, the Patriots should have at least been up double digits.
Yep.
I thought so, too. Hey, the Patriots, they couldn't contain Tyreek Hill either on Thursday night, as Tyreek Hill was explosive, much like we saw most of last year. This explosion didn't happen. I thought that Tyreek Hill could have a good game. I was very excited to see him on Thursday night. Proved that it was okay, Scott.
Yeah, it's... I think he's still going to be up and down. I think it's still a learning process for him to be a number one wide receiver. The guy does have a background as a running back, but he's very explosive. You can't doubt that. Greg, you made a good call. He had that big touchdown catch. I don't know where Stephen Gilmore is. I think he's still chasing him. Just like pulled up at one point and just like screw him. Critics. Well, and I hate when some fantasy analysts do this. Critics of Hill will say, "Well, if you take away that one catch, you don't take it away."
Is that Tony Sincotta?
What? No, Tony would say.
No, I'm saying, but you're doing a Tony Sincotta.
Okay. I'll do different. You take away that one catch, you don't take it away. The guy produced it.
Yes, he did. It happened. It was real. We're not taking away Kareem Hunt's 75-yard touchdown. Probably shouldn't take away this.
I think the Hill touchdown, though, is indicative of what we saw was the issue with the Patriots last night. Miscommunication, a lot of new parts on that defense, and it'll take some time for that to come together.
Absolutely. There's no question. I thought what I was very impressed about was Matt Nagy, offensive coordinator in Kansas City, finding ways to get the ball to Tyreek Hill, to Travis Kelce. Like, even though Kelce did nothing in the receiving game, like, he ran the ball a couple times. And that was something that we had never seen before. And it was innovative and it was different. And I always give credit to offensive coordinators that are able to get the balls to their best player. And it sounds like the simplest thing in the world. But we know the Patriots always take out the best player. And they did a nice job of that with Kelce. But still, they were able to get the ball to Kareem Hunt, obviously. They were able to get the ball repeatedly to Tyreek Hill. It was a nice job, a nice game by Matt Nagy with Alex Smith.
I mean, great job by Alex Smith. We have to give him... I mean, I keep looking at this box score, and I'm like, this should be Tom Brady. That throw to Tyreek Hill was an excellent throw. And last season, we saw it even in the playoffs. Tyreek Hill was running down the field wide open. The ball was never going his way. I guess with Pat Mahomes in camp and everybody drooling over the throws he's making and these deep, beautiful passes, Alex Smith took notice, and he delivered last night.
He certainly did. You know, it's like... You expected the stats to be reversed. It's like Alex Smith had the Brady game, and Brady had the Alex Smith game.
In a way, you know, in a way, last night Brady was inaccurate. Alex Smith took some chances, and it obviously worked out on Thursday night for these two players. All right, come back. We have 12 games to preview on Sunday, and we're going to do just that. What are our experts looking for in each one of these games? What do they try to take away? What are the fantasy implications of all of it? We'll go through that when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Week one kicks off Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern, and that means you need to go to mybookie.ag and get those wagers in. You have a feeling, you have a gut feeling of which direction you should go in. Well, you should go to mybookie.ag and put your money where your mouth is. MyBookie's been in the business for years, and their rep, it's real good. They give 100% cash bonuses when you give the code ROTOExperts. Right off the bat, you're making money, and they have the fastest payouts. You win some cash Sunday, you want to take it out Monday? Perfect. You'll have it by the middle of the week. Literally, just two business days. You know who's going to win. Lay down the cash and win big today. We would never recommend this to you if we didn't believe in it. That's why we are urging you. Head on over to mybookie.ag. You win, they pay. The best part about it, to me, they have that live in-game betting. So as things change, last night, on Thursday, you could have gotten these fantastic odds on the Chiefs once they went down early. We thought they were going to get blown out. It didn't happen. You should have went to mybookie.ag and laid it down. You could have did it right on your phone because their mobile site is awesome. Join right now. Mybookie.ag will match your deposit with an up to 100% cash bonus. Use the promo code ROTOExperts to activate that offer. Hey, it's 100% cash bonus. It cannot get better than that. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Remember, the promo code is ROTOExperts. Okay. Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern, we have the New York Jets. The Buffalo Bills. What are you watching for, Matt?
In the toilet bowl. I mean, look, the Bills. I want to see Zay Jones and Jordan Matthew, their roles in the passing game. I mean, LeSean McCoy should be LeSean McCoy. Tyrod Taylor passed the concussion test and all that. So I don't know how long Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starting quarterback. So I think he needs to get out there, have a good game. And, you know, it could also be improving his trade stock.
Scott Engel, Buffalo Bills, the New York Jets. What are you looking for from the Jets' perspective here?
I like how you make it more sound dramatic for such a bad-looking game. But, you know, the Bills had the worst rush defense in the AFC last year, and Bilal Powell's going to get a lot of work. So I look for that. If you're desperate and you're missing Dolphins and Buccaneers, you know, consider Robbie Anderson. Josh McCown is a veteran quarterback, and that's probably his best pass catcher. From the Bills' perspective, I really like Zay Jones against that secondary. And also, well, I don't think a lot of people are desperate at tight end, unless they had waited too long and got Julius Thomas. Maybe you can make a dart throw with Charles Clay.
Maybe so. Mike Blue, make your prediction. Jets and Bills.
Make the prediction. I'm going to take the Bills, obviously. Okay. The thing that I'm looking for beyond what these guys said, I want to see how much of an impact Sean McDermott can have on this defense. Can he make them the legit defense that has a lot of talent on it? So I'll take the Bills. How about 20 to 10, something like that?
20 to 10. There you go. There's a prediction from Michael Blue. Before we get to our next game, let's go to Kelly in Tampa at 844-843-6879. What's going on, Kels?
Hey, girl.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing well, Kelly. How are you?
I'm sitting pretty. I have Hunt on both my teams, and I almost changed one of my team names to the future Mrs. Hunt, but then I knew he would get injured if I did that.
You better get in line, though, because Michael Salfino on Twitter already said, you know, how he feels about Hunt. He said, will you marry me?
I don't doubt that.
Yeah, but you can feel good, but like I was saying earlier, you know, things are far from done.
Yes, I know. It's only week one, so take a deep breath and
no, it's not even the, it's only the beginning of week one.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, his game's over. But I just wanted to say, too, you guys have the most amazing listeners. I've had several of your listeners reach out to me via Facebook or Twitter and just making sure that I'm okay. And it really means a lot. I feel like we're part of a family. I feel like I'm everybody's little sister. So I just want to say thank you to everybody that's reached out and just checked up on me and my family.
Well, stay safe this weekend. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, absolutely, Kelly. We appreciate you calling in as always, and definitely stay safe. It's more important than fantasy football. That's for damn sure. All right, Manny in California, you're up next here on the Road to Experts in the Morning. What's going on, Manny?
Yeah, how's it going? Good morning. I got a couple of questions. One of them is I got T.Y. on my lineup. Should I bench him? And then on the bench, I got Peter Garçon and Adam Thielen. Which one should I play?
Would you bench T.Y. Hilton for Adam Thielen or Pierre Garçon?
I'd put Pierre Garçon in first. Is this PPR? I mean, regardless, I'm going to put Pierre Garçon in. He should get the lion's share of the targets this weekend. He's played in that system before. Hoyer's a more than adequate quarterback. I mean, I love Hilton, but it's kind of a train wreck right now for the Colts.
What about you, Scott?
I totally agree. You know, Matt just absolutely circled it and nailed it. I can't use T.Y. Hilton with a lot of confidence with Scott Tolzien in there.
So you're just going to keep him on the bench until Luck comes back?
Well, it all depends on what the other options
are.
I mean, if you would have said, Jerron Brown or, you know, something like that, or Robbie Anderson, I would have said go with Hilton.
You're going to keep playing Garçon over Hilton? Or is this a little bit more matchup? You like the Panthers matchup for the Niners? You don't love the Rams matchup for Tolzien?
I'll play Garçon over Hilton as long as Luck is out.
I mean, right now, I got to see something from Tolzien this week before. I mean, look.
Hopefully nothing for Scott Engel's Survivor team.
Yeah, I stayed away from Hilton. As much as I love him, I had a couple shares early. But it's just, I mean, I'm looking at Garçon. I might even start Thielen this week because Thielen's got a great matchup.
Yes, he does.
He's in the slot. You know, I'm just looking on a weekly basis this week. Both those guys, I'd feel more confident in.
There you go.
They're not better, but I'd feel more confident.
Sure, absolutely. Okay, up next here we have, what game are we going to next? Let's go to the Falcons and the Bears. Atlanta is in Chicago. The debut, Mike Palut, of Steve Sarkisian as the offensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons. What changes do you expect to see from Sarkisian going from Kyle Shanahan?
So he said he's going to keep it relatively close to the same. So I would expect more of the same there. Mixing it up with both backs, getting the backs out in space, I think is key for this team. Helps them move the chains and create some big plays. Do I think that anybody on the Bears can cover Julio? Not right now, they can't. So the Bears' biggest Achilles heel for the last couple of years has been their defensive backfield, so I think Julio could have a big game right out of the gate. And Matty Ice is going to want to get this monkey off his back. They just want to get this offense moving so they can forget about everything that happened in February.
Yeah, it's just this team is way much more talented than the Bears are. The Bears have a complete mishmash at wide receiver, and that's an underrated young defense that's getting better, and they get Marcus Trufant back this year at corner. You don't know who's going to step up there at the all these wide receivers are capable of having a mediocre and bad game, because I believe there are two different types of quarterbacks. I always have. One who make the guys around them better. The others need a good supporting cast to be better. I think Glennon needs a decent supporting cast. He doesn't have it. Mitch Trubisky is going to get in there sooner or later. This offense is going to have no spark until Mitch Trubisky gets in there. You didn't draft Jordan Howard to bench him, but you can't be optimistic about a huge game either.
Can Jordan Howard have a good game this week, Matt? Let's be very, very quiet here.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, if he gets into the end zone and he gets some rushing yards and catches a couple passes, Jordan Howard had a fantastic year last year. I know the game script is against him going into this week, because I do agree the Falcons really want to try and erase some of that taste they have in their mouth from that Super Bowl. They want to get off to a good start. This is a really good matchup. I'm taking the Falcons in my survivor pool. I hate taking the road team, but this seems like the perfect spot.
All right, there you go. The Pittsburgh, speaking of other road teams in a good spot, Pittsburgh Steelers head to Cleveland to face off against the Browns. Pittsburgh got a much improved defense. Cleveland should have a better team this year, despite releasing Calvin Pryor after a fight on Thursday. But Myles Garrett, also, he's going to be out for a few weeks. That sucks. Pittsburgh and Cleveland, what are you thinking here, Scotty?
I don't think Cleveland's going to be a pushover. I think Isaiah Crowell will get in the end zone. I think DeShone Kizer is going to successfully look for Corey Coleman. If you look at my guide to replacing Buccaneers and Dolphins on rotoexperts.com, you will see that I say go with Kizer. He's got a strong arm, and he can run the ball too. On the other side of the offense, I'm looking for a big season opener from Martavis Bryant.
We see the debut, Mike Blewett, of DeShone Kizer here this week. And people are kind of talking up this connection potentially with Corey Coleman. What do you think we see in that aspect?
I don't expect to see a lot, because Roethlisberger, Bell, Brown, Martavis Bryant have played a total of 21 minutes together in their careers.
Sure.
So I think we get 60 minutes here. I think you see some points put up, and okay, it's going to put DeShone Kizer in a bad spot. I think the only shot Cleveland has is to get Crowell going early and controlling the pace of the game.
Everything points to what Mike says being correct schematically and personnel-wise. I think, though, Cleveland emotionally will come out and make a statement that they are not going to be pushovers here, and this game's going to be close.
I think Duke Johnson's going to have a big game. Kizer, I'm a little worried. I think the Steelers' defense has improved, and as Mike just said, Bell, Brown, Bryant, I think Bryant will have a big game as well.
Okay, there you go. Let's get to another game here quickly. Arizona and Detroit, we talked about a little bit earlier on, Matt Modica. Jacksonville and Houston, it seemed like that, Mike Blue, that's where you're going to go in Survivor here.
Yeah, I think there's just still going to be a lot of emotion riding high. It's going to be similar to what we saw with the Saints-Falcons years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't like the Jags' chances here.
When we come back, Michael Florio joins the program to play Is Mike Lang the King? Scott Engel will try to defend his championship. Matt Modica hasn't won 2 weeks in a row. Can we make it three?
He loses on the last question, loses in overtime.
We'll find out. Coming up next.
Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns. Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Just a reminder, nice job by Frank Yu on Twitter. Big day for Ezekiel Elliott today. We're going to find out if that the stay is granted.
5 p.m.?
Was it at 5 p.m. or by 5 p.m.?
I thought it was at... It could be either or. I thought it was at 5 p.m.
We're going to find out here on Friday if Ezekiel Elliott will be granted his stay and thus will be allowed to play the entire season. If not, he'll be suspended as of week 2. That will come out later today. At this time, let's bring in our good buddy, my co-host on the Fantasy Football Best Friends Forever, my guy, Mike Florio. Good morning, Michael.
What up, guys? Football last night.
Kareem.
You like that? You like that, Florio?
I don't know if Scott was making fun of me.
Yes. They both were. Because they're my co-hosts and my good friends.
Because your host was kind of savage at this morning
and missed the show.
Scott watched the entire game. How dare you make fun of him?
Yeah, and you're such a wuss. It's like three people make fun of him, and he goes back at me. Right?
No.
What a wuss.
Matt wasn't making fun of me.
Yes,
Matt
he was. He was making fun of your tweet.
I actually was.
And Greg set this all up, by the way, by reading the tweet.
Don't worry, I'll make fun of Greg on BFF.
You do owe him one.
You're terrified of Modica. I've seen you in the control room.
Mike Florio, the best I can tell you about your tweet, and please,
I'm terrified.
Follow my buddy Mike Florio at Michael F. Florio on Twitter. For terrible commentary. But the best I can tell you is that tweet of Kareem was a Jake Seeley tweet, and if that doesn't burn, I don't know what will.
You don't have fun ever.
It was a terrible tweet, I don't have to tell you. It was a terrible tweet. Let's play his Mike Lyon.
I own him.
Great. Give me some analysis rather than just tweeting the word Kareem.
There's no context.
There's no context or content.
Yeah. Well, according to UberFacts, 97% of your followers scrolled right past that tweet.
I'm sorry. I can't get excited. I know we have to watch football and be serious.
You don't be serious.
Sorry, Greg.
You have a better tweet than that. Like, there's funny Kareem Hunt tweets. You just tweeted literally the word Kareem.
I support you, Florio.
I was excited.
This is a Bills fan.
Let's play Mike Lyon. Numbers, hit the music. Let's go.
Are you ready, Greggy?
I'm ready, buddy.
You have some fun, or
I'm ready. Hey, I'm ready. You know I love this game. Scott, you are the defending champion.
Who's going first?
Where would you like to go?
I will go last.
You will go last, which means Mike Pluitt, you're up first. Matt Modica, you, sir, are up first.
Mike Blue
Modica.
I don't like that.
All right, let's go.
Rishard Matthews is the lowest owned of the three Titans wide receivers on NFL.com.
Ooh.
This is true.
Ooh, very confident answer there. I'm going to say true.
I'm going to say false.
Blew it. You said false as well?
I did.
Point for Matt and Greg.
There you go.
Don't ever go against the family, Scott.
There you go. Rishard Matthews, the lowest owned wide receiver on NFL.com Fantasy League.
Rishard.
There you go. Question number two, please.
Zay Jones is the most added player on CBS League.
A what league?
CBS.
CBS.
False.
False.
True.
Greg jumps out to a lead. This is false. Only two players were added more than he was.
Chris Hogan.
No.
Mike?
Matt Breida.
No.
Danny Amendola.
No.
Kendall Wright.
Point for Matt.
Oh, wow, Kendall Wright, nice. Kareem Hunt.
No.
All right.
Don't lose, Greg.
Jermaine Curse?
No.
Paul Richardson?
No.
Kevin White.
No, Ted Ginn.
Interesting. So I went with Kareem Hunt. It's so nice being able to see the fish, by the way, and clean water. Nice job, Florio, changing that water, by the way.
About time.
2 points for myself, 2 points for Matt Modica, one each for Mike Pluitt and Scott Engel. Question number three.
Nick Novak is the most dropped player in CBS League.
Pluitt.
False.
True.
False.
True.
This is false. Ooh. Three players were dropped in more leagues than Nick Novak.
Mike Pluitt?
Malcolm Mitchell.
No.
Am I don't even have an answer here.
Is he passing?
What?
Are you passing?
I'm passing.
Josh Lambeau?
No.
Spencer Ware?
Correct.
Point for Greg. Mike Blewett?
I'll just bet on the delay and say Julian Edelman.
Point for Matt. Mike.
Point for Mike Blewett. Scott Engel?
Pass.
Another pass.
Pass.
Another pass. I'll go Cam Meredith.
Incorrect.
What was the answer?
Jonathan Williams.
Jonathan Williams. There we go.
That was all you, Matt.
What are the scores? Yeah. What are the scores here, Mike Flora?
3 for Mike, Matt, and Greg, and 1 for Scotty.
1 for the King as we had the question number 4.
According to UberFact, the Cookie Monster's real name is Tom.
I know this to be false.
True.
False.
False. He's so confident.
It is false.
Can I guess for a point?
Well, yeah, sure.
Alistair.
What?
Alistair.
Now you lose a point.
Is that
for
correct?
That,
is the Cookie Monster named Alistair?
No.
Now he gets
I doubt the validity of this. Whenever they did Monster Peace Theater, he would introduce himself as Alistair Cookie.
Does anybody have no problem if we just move on and not guess his name?
Yeah.
All right.
What is his real name?
According to UberFacts, it's Sid.
Sid!
I think it's Alistair. I think UberFacts is wrong.
Oh, that's fine now.
I think it's pronounced Alistair, by the way.
No, he would say it. Welcome to Monster Peace Theater. This is Alistair Cookie.
All right. Question number 5 from Matt Williams.
Cookie Monster impression.
The same
Randall
as Gene Simmons.
Cobb is owned in more NFL leagues than Devontae Parker.
False.
What's the question one more time, Florian? I'm looking at Alistair here. Sorry.
Randall Cobb is owned in more NFL leagues than Devontae Parker.
False.
NFL.com.
What'd you say?
False.
False.
True.
Is that your turn?
Okay.
Blew it.
Cobb is owned more. I'll say true.
I'll say true. Those are 10-team mainstream leagues.
It's true. Parker's only owned in just 53.5 leagues.
Wow, that's crazy. All right. Question number 6, please.
Corey Coleman is owned in more NFL.com leagues than Tyrell Williams.
False.
True.
False.
True.
Mikey Blewett is starting to run away with it. This is true. Tyrell Williams is owned in 48.8% of leagues.
So, how many is Corey Coleman in?
Corey Coleman, 65.5.
All right, so what's the scores?
6 for Mike, 3 for Scott, and then 4 for Matt and Greg.
All right, fair enough. Question number 7 to Mike Blewett.
Mike Gillislee was started in less than half of NFL and CBS Sports leagues last night.
Less than half, I'll say false.
True.
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 Yeah, this is true. He was in 44% of CBS leagues and 36% of NFL.com leagues.
Let's sneak another one in. Question number 8.
A lot of people kicking themselves. According to UberFacts, dogs cannot feel guilt.
Huh.
False.
I got 2 dogs. I'm going false.
False.
Clean sweep on false.
This is true. Apparently, they just get sad because they get yelled at.
Oh, I feel bad for them.
I don't believe that. I think they feel dog owner.
I think they feel guilt. I really do. All right.
I did too. I've had dogs my whole life.
We're going to pause here. We have 2 more questions to go. Mike Blue is up 1 point. on both Matt Modica and myself. He's up 2 points on Scott. We have 2 questions remaining, so it's absolutely anyone's ball game right now. Blue, you gotta finish the game. You can't just get up.
Should have gone contrarian on that last one.
Say, I'm kicking myself for the same thing. We have 2 more questions left, so we got a lot going on. By the way, according to Wikipedia, Cookie Monster's name is Sid, not Alistair.
Okay.
Scott loses his stage name.
I still got the original question.
Sid's actual name. Alistair is the stage name.
Yes. There you go.
It's actually crazy that you were so... I literally only said false because... Oh, I take this back. His aliases are Sid and Alistair Cookie. I take it back. It was a Monsterpiece Theater, a recurring segment on the American version of popular children's television series Sesame Street, which is a parody of Masterpiece Theater. And Alistair Cookie is Cookie Monster's alter ego when hosting Monsterpiece Theater.
King was right, Sussman.
Well, you're not right. It was just an alter ego. It's not his real name. So, not terrible. Not
I'm going to give you alter ego.
Not a bad job. 2 more questions remaining. And we wrap up this week on the Roto Experts. Some more.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Final 5 of the Roto Experts in the morning of the week. Wrapping up as we always do with Is Mike Lyon. Mike Blewett has a 1-point lead as he fills in today for Corey Parson. He will also co-host the Fantasy Football Frenzy with Jake Seeley and Matt Modica coming up next.
Should be a big improvement.
But before we do, let's get, gentlemen, to question number 9 as we welcome back Mike Floria.
Question 9. CJ Procise is owned in more NFL.com leagues than Thomas Rawl.
Who's up?
It's you.
Oh, me? I will say true.
I will go with false.
True. That's a little strategy right there by Sussman.
I'm going to go false because Rawls is better known and to the general public. And also, these percentages these percentages are also for standard leagues.
Give me that false, Florio. Give it to me, baby.
That was good reasoning, Scotty.
That's wrong.
But this is true.
There you go.
CJ Procise, 62.2% of leagues. Thomas Rawls, 44.2%.
Wow.
Eddie Lacy,
95.2%. I'll combat your reasoning. Notre Dame,
potentially. All right, Matt, you are 1 point behind Michael Blewett. I am 2 points, and this is the final question.
Danny Amendola is the most added player on NFL.com this week.
I will say false.
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 False all the way around.
It is false. 3 players were added in one week.
I got a shot. Here we go.
This is total ads, by the way, not percentage.
This is total ads. All right, yeah, similar question earlier. I had this answer earlier. I'm gonna stick with it. I'm going to go with Chris Hogan again.
That is correct.
There's one.
Kendall Wright.
Kendall Wright is not one of the other 2 players.
I got one. I need one more to get it overtime.
Matt Breida.
Not one of the other 2 players.
Matt to guarantee himself overtime.
Ted Ginn.
not one of the other two players.
Not Ted Ginn. I need to get this one right. All right. I will say, added over the last couple weeks, I will go with Cooper Kupp.
Not one of the other two players.
For the win.
I need some help on the pronunciation, but that Rams kicker.
The Chargers kicker?
Chargers kicker.
Koo,
yeah.
Good guess, but no.
Kevin White.
I thought about him a second.
Not one of the other.
To go to overtime, at Modica.
Zay Jones.
Is Zay Jones the answer, Florio? Or do we have a brand new Is Mike Lyon champion?
We have a new champion.
Oh. The winner! And new Is Mike Lyon champion! It's Mike Blue. Mike, you got to call back in next Friday.
Can't wait.
There you go. Who are the answers, Florio?
Sam Bradford. Mm. And surprisingly enough, Jeremy Hill.
Wow, Sam Bradford, probably Jameis Winston type thing.
Yeah,
there, Sam Bradford.
Yeah,
Blewett, what's coming up next on the Frenzy?
We're gonna recap the Patriots Chiefs matchup, and we're gonna talk about this weekend's games. Obviously, get a sense of some of the games that we didn't get to chance to talk about on this show.
Fantastic. All right, we'll see Michael Florio coming up on Fantasy Football Best Friends Forever when the Frenzy kicks off. Jake Seeley will join Matt Modica and Mike Blewett to, as he said, recap the Patriots and the Chiefs and go over the rest of Week One around the NFL. For Mike Blewett, thanks for coming in early today. Appreciate
it. Great to be here. Appreciate it, buddy.
For the King, Scott Angle. And for Wall Street, Matt Modica. Enjoy Week One, everybody. We can't wait to see you back here on Monday morning, 6 a.m. in the East, 3 a.m. out West. Until then, I'm Grant Sussman. Have a great one, everybody. Have a great weekend. See ya.